Jonathan L. Buffalo is the Historic Preservation Director for the Cultural Center and Museum for the Meskwaki Nation. The Meskwaki were indigenous to the East Coast, but traveled west to Wisconsin, and eventually, due to conflicts with the French, settled in the area called Iowa today. The Meskwaki are unique in that they own their own land in Iowa and have not experienced any interruption in their cultural, religious, and educational heritage. As the Meskwaki historian, Mr. Buffalo is a valuable source of information about how winters were weathered before electricity or gas were part of the formula for surviving the cold.
We're very ancient people here. We've been here thousands of years. Our tribal memory remembers the last ice age, but we've been here longer than that. But we remember the last ice age, which is 15,000 years ago, something like that. But we remember that we used to live under those conditions, and we've seen this continent change. We were contemporaries of Macedons once, but through change, they're gone. And we always know there's change. Just like now, there's gradual change. You know, when people say climate change, they think it's going to get hot. But it only means seasons will get extreme. Winters will get extreme. Summers will get extreme. You know, that's just what that means. And as a people, even though we haven't debated this issue tribally, you know, but individually, we all make our comments and we think we can survive what's coming, the change, you know. When any change like that comes, drastic change, it's the smart people that survive. The people that can't adapt, they go away. If you look at the Northeast United States, Iowa, going east, about Tennessee, Kentucky, south, if you look at that area, that's a bioregion. And we have lived in this bioregion for thousands of years. And we know how to live in it. We know how to survive. Within this bioregion, you can't be lazy. If you're lazy, you die. The object of the game is to survive winter. That's the object. And we love this environment. We thrive in this environment. We would die if we were removed to Arizona or any other bioregion that we're not used to. We would all die. We're used to this bioregion and we've known how to survive. We like the cold. Our environment needs that bitter cold. Our trees are made for that. You know, they need that bitter cold to survive and thrive in the spring. It keeps the sap going for maple syrup, things like that. So traditionally, to live in this environment, we had a system of living. In the summertime, of course, we lived in a summer village. And in the fall, we would go to our winter camps. And the houses we lived in the village were large houses, an extended family, 20 people maybe, grandparents, parents, grandchildren. That housed a large family, and the village consisted of maybe 100 houses, a couple thousand people. But in the fall, we would go to winter camps, and that's when the household goes into a place where they can hunt and trap, and they divide up into wikiups, round-shaped, maybe 12 by 12, circular, covered with cattail mats. And those are easy to warm in the real cold. You know, you don't need a raging fire. And they say that your fire doesn't have to be so big that you're sweating, but comfortable. Just to be comfortable and survive, so you don't freeze. In the construction of a wikiup, it's poles that are set in the ground, and you bend them, and you make an arch. It looks like an egg buried in the ground. And a good wikiup has the right width to its height. It's not too tall, it's not too wide, it's perfect. And when you cover it, you have an inner layer that doesn't cover all of it, but goes up the wall, the inside wall. Then the outside wall is cattail mats. And the outer layer, cattail mats are off the ground a little bit, which brings in the air, and the cold air comes in, and the heated air goes up. So there's circulation. So it doesn't get smoky, and it keeps the fire going. It doesn't smother the fire. Like if it was closed all the way up, it would kind of suffocate the fire and it would be smoky. It wouldn't flame up. It would just smother.
Does it have any opening at the top for the smoke to go out?
There's a roof. There's an opening on the
roof. Opening in the roof.
And then cover it where the wind is coming. Some people made chimneys with bark and they put it on top of their wickiya and it worked like a chimney. So the air doesn't blow it back in. And a wickiya that size would keep a family warm. And the winter camp is also socially family time. Because in the summertime, when you're in the village, it's like a town. If you're a kid, you got all your friends, you're going to the river, you're doing stuff, you know. The adults are doing something, you know. And it's a pretty busy, active place. And that's where all the big ceremonies happen, tribal ceremonies. But in a winter camp, it's just your mom and dad, your grandparents, who might be living a couple feet away from you, but they're there. And that's the time of where the family told winter stories, told history to their young, and where mothers taught their daughters how to sew, or maybe grandfathers taught their boys how to make spoons, how to make a bowl, something like that. Keeps you busy over the winter months. So that was more family time, and winter stories are morality stories. They're fun to hear, and they're educational, but in the end, just like any culture that has stories like that, they're morality stories of greed, anger. Maybe two animals argue, and then it teaches you how they solve the argument. You know, things like that.
What about food?
Food, that's where the summer village comes in.
Well, in the wintertime, you have to eat also. Where is the food, or can you hunt? How do you eat in the winter?
In the summer village, we had our gardens. And I don't mean a little vegetable garden. I mean huge cornfields of corn, beans, squash. So in the fall, during the harvest, we would prepare the corn, parboil it, and dry the kernels. And we would cut up squash, dry it, and the beans, you know, you would dry out the beans. And afterwards, some of the produce you would bury in the ground in your summer house, and the rest you take to your winter camp, and that's what you survive on during the winter, along with the game that the men hunted and trapped, and you made enough to last you through the winter and early spring. Us Meskwakis are natural, what do you call those people? We prepare all the time. In our households, there's at least 3 months' food, and that's if you ate once a day. You can survive in once a day. One time we were watching TV, and they said on an average American household, there's 3 days of food, 3 days of food in your house. So we kind of quickly made an official count of our food. We just wanted to find out, and we counted if it was conservative eating. We basically had 3 months of food, which is a winter, because without even thinking about it, we're used to thinking about surviving the winter.
Even now.
And that's not eating 3 times a day. When it comes to winter, we enjoy winter. And Iowa has 4 definite seasons. That's part of our enjoyment of being Iowans. We get 4 different definite seasons. Just when we're getting tired of dealing with winter, spring comes. And we're so happy spring is here. We enjoy spring. And just when we're getting tired of spring, summer comes. And then when we're getting tired of summer, fall comes. And just when we're getting tired of fall, which is harvest time, you're getting tired of cutting up squash, you know, drying corn. And for Iowa farmers, dealing with their harvest, winter comes.
I would like to find out what you look forward to in winter. You look forward to not having to take care of the harvest, but there must be something you say, oh, I'm looking forward to
family time, because that's when we're around our grandkids more, we're around family more, just a quieter life, you know, just to stay inside. We settle down, We quiet our life during wintertime. Of course, it was more active a couple hundred years ago because we're in a winter camp and we're doing stuff outside. So we don't have to do that anymore. The only physical thing I do now is if I shovel our driveway. But I don't need to go hunt for my food. I don't need to go chop wood like I did when I was a kid.
Did you ever live in a wickiup?
Well, we all have our wickiups in our yard that we cover up and we use as our emergency shelter. If something happens and the electricity goes off, you can always go to the wickiup. If you put a stove in, you don't need to have an open fire. You start up the stove and it's warm. And wickiups are made to live through a storm. They're physically made to withstand high wind. Mm. A wickiup won't even shake in high wind because the poles are dug in at an angle, and the more pressure you apply to it, the stronger it gets. You know, if you pushed it down, it gets harder, it gets stronger the more pressure. So it doesn't matter how much snow it gets on, it won't collapse. If the wind pushes it, it makes it stronger and it won't shake. I've been in a wickiup when it's been windy and snowy, and the crossbows might kind of creak a little bit, but it doesn't. Sometimes you forget there's a big storm outside and you open your flap and there's wind going by, snow, you know, and you forget sometimes when you're in a wickiup because it's quiet. You know, you might hear the wind, but it's not like you're sitting out there.
So how do people decide when it's time to go to the wickiup?
Today?
Yes, today. You said everyone has one in their yard. Do you wait for the emergency, like when the gas goes off?
Adjacent to it is a regular fireplace. And sometimes my wife just wants to cook an open fire, and we use it for that too. It's not just for emergency. It's if you just want to go sit by the fire while your wife is cooking, you know, we use them that way too. Not just for emergency. It's if you just want to get out of the house and go into your wickiup, it's got a woodsy smell, you know. So that's the traditional way of how we cope with our environment. But today, whenever the newscaster tells us this is coming, you know, we kind of prepare. We tend to stay home. We don't go driving off. We kind of prepare water just in case something happens, you know. We just wait it out. That's the best way to do it. It's just wait it out. It will end. So that's how we survived this cold weather.
When European settlers came, did they learn from you a way that would be better?
When the Europeans started coming here, generally, Iowa would sort them out, sort out the weak from the strong. Only the strong would live in Iowa. And the weak ones either went back home right away or kept on moving to California. So only the strong stays in Iowa. So that was what happened to our white neighbors. You know, they were hardy people. They were strong. They could live through it. But their way of living was a little bit different. They lived in first log cabins, you know, with a fireplace. But only the strong survives in Iowa. You know, Iowa sends out the herd, I think.
So has that changed?
All of us Iowans are pretty hardy people. And I mean anybody that wants to live in Iowa. I'm not talking about race. I'm not talking about white people, Indians, or I mean Iowans. We're all Iowans in a sense that we live in Iowa. This is our state. And we're pretty hardy people, I think, in Iowa.